If you have God, you are a majority. Are you with me? You don't need nobody else. No matter how many hundreds of thousands come against you, if God is on my side, I will not fear.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening's broadcast brings the concluding part of Pastor Grant's message entitled, Get Ready to Rumble, taking life lessons from the epic contest between Elijah, the prophet of God, and King Ahab and the prophets of Baal. In the first part aired last week, Pastor Grant drew out points illustrated in the text that describe qualities God requires of his heroes, those special individuals who would dare to rumble with the enemies of our God. Pastor Grant made the points that God requires my supreme commitment. Secondly, that God requires my steadfast commitment. And that's where we pick up the message again this evening. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18 and follow along as Pastor Grant concludes his message, Get Ready to Rumble. Once again, here is Pastor Grant.
You see, I'm convinced that Jesus is the only one who died on a cross for my sin. I'm convinced that Jesus is the only one who was raised from the dead by his Father. I believe that Jesus is the only one who is in heaven right now preparing a place for me. Amen. I believe that Jesus is the one that's soon coming for me. I believe in Jesus, hallelujah, and I am so glad that Jesus has saved me. And listen, I just don't only believe that, but the Spirit of God lives in me, and he has confirmed that I have eternal life. And it's all because of Jesus. And I want to ask you this morning, young man, young lady, older person, if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to challenge you to come and receive him this morning. Take him as your Savior and let him transform and change your life. Amen. But listen, this message I am preaching is not a popular message. I just read last night the big bishop of one of the big Baptist churches in New York City, 10,000 members. He has concluded that Jesus is not the only way to heaven. Do you hear what I'm saying? The preachers are preaching it now. Jesus is not the only. No wonder young people are so confused, because the devil is in the pulpit and the preachers are preaching that Jesus is not the only way to heaven. In fact, I did my homework last night and I looked it up, and here's what shocked me. You want to hear what shocked me? You really want to hear? Among young adults ages 18 to 29 who regard themselves as born again evangelical Christians, that's you. Among young people who regard themselves as born again evangelical Christians, only 30% believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. We got some work to do. And listen, you know, We're seeking by God's grace to evangelize. But listen, we're going to do some teaching too. Something we should only do evangelism. But we better buttress evangelism with teaching that people understand who Jesus is. Folks are limping from one to the other. And I want to ask you, young person, you say you believe in Jesus. You say you're a Christian. Have you settled it in your heart? Is it settled that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Or are you one of those limping between two opinions? Oh, I'm over here, yes. The prophet, he challenges the people. And he says, how long are you going to keep limping? Make your mind up. Is it Jesus? Or is it Buddha? Or is it Confucius? Or is it Islam? Muhammad? Who is it? But oh, thank God, I've found a Savior. Hallelujah. I've found a Savior. The song says, He's sweet, I know. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. And my young friend, I want you to know that Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse number 12, the apostle said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Put it in your notes, Acts 4, 12. There is no other name but Jesus. May we, my brothers and sisters, it's time. Listen, it's time to rumble. Young person, don't keep this message quiet. The enemy of the cross is spreading all the mess. The enemy of the cross is spreading it from the pulpits today. Those of us who know who Jesus is, let us take this message to the street, amen? Let's take it to the classroom. Let's take it to the workplace that Jesus is the only way. And there is life abundant in Jesus, amen? What have we said so far? God requires a supreme commitment. But secondly, God requires my steadfast conviction. And third, God requires my sacrificial consecration. Well, it was no time for the big rumba on Mount Carmel. Elijah had invited them up. Let's find out who really is God. Humanly speaking, the odds were stacked against Elijah, for there were 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah versus Elijah alone. As I'm standing here preaching, something popped into my mind to say to you, listen, the devil's going to play that game with you. You're going to find that you're outnumbered. And he knows that one of the ways to shut you up is because you feel like some crazy, because you're the only one saying Jesus is the only way, and there are 850 people saying something else. Have you ever found that out? But can I tell you something? Can I whisper it to you? If you have God, you are a majority. Are you with me? You don't need nobody else. No matter how many hundreds of thousands come against you, if God is on my side, will not fear. Elijah laid down the ground rules for the contest in verses 23 and 24, and I'll read them just so you see what they are. Therefore, let them give us two bulls. So they're going to be two bulls. Let the 850 prophets choose a bull, cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, but don't put no fire on it. I will prepare the other bull, lay it on the wood, no fire. Then you can call on the name of your God. Then I will call on the name of my God. And the God who answers by fire, he is the God. What a test. We really need a God who can really do something now. Amen. All them folks have, you know, I've gone into people's houses and I've seen their little God on a shelf, you know. You ever seen people's gods on a shelf? And if there's a hard breeze, God falls down. I'm not making that up. The breeze would blow God over. So here we need a real God. We need a God who can actually do something. Well, the people said, that sounds like a good plan. If God is really God, he ought to be able to send some fire, right? Well, the folks were up to bat first. Baal's prophets went up to bat first. Verse 26. So the Baal's prophets took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, no one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry louder, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping, and somebody got to shout to wake him up. He was making a mockery of them. So they cried aloud, and cut themselves as was their custom with knives and lances until the blood gushed out. Can you imagine this scene? And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. There was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. They were shouting, they were prancing, they were dancing, they were cutting themselves, but their God didn't answer. Guess why? Let me hear you. Why you think he didn't answer? Because he was a figment of their imagination. Their God was not alive. He was just a... I wonder if I have somebody in here this morning who's following some other god. Oh, don't think I'm making fun of you. You may have one of the idols on your shelf. I want you to realize, my friend, no matter what you got on your shelf, the only God who can really help you is the God Jehovah. The God who loves you so much that he sent Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary to die for your sin. That's the only God who can help you. And you can cut yourself, you can prance, you can go to church every night. It's a dead-end stick. But look at what happened when Elijah took over. Look with me at verse number 36. It came to pass at the evening time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the... Oops. I got to back up. Oh, my goodness. I got to back up before I got there. I got to look and tell you what happened in verse 30. Let's roll the clock back to verse 30. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So the people came, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Boy, I wish we had a whole hour to preach, because there's more stuff there we can talk about repairing the altar. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons. Let's move on to verse 32. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood, then said, fill 4 pots with water and pour it on the sacrifice. Verse 34. Then he said, do it a second time. It's water they're pouring on the thing that they want to get burnt, you know. Then he said, do it a third time. Verse 35. So the water ran all around the altar and also filled the trench with water. I want you to notice it was water, not kerosene oil. You know, I don't know much about cooking. You all know that. But I know this much. You don't use water to light a fire. You use water to put out the fire. That's why the fire truck comes with water.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Can you imagine? Is Elijah crazy or what? Elijah has the sacrifice so soaked with water that the trenches are filled with water. Elijah is going to show unmistakably, listen, that there ain't no hocus pocus here. Hallelujah. But when you saw what happened, let's go back down then to verse number 37. He prays. Then verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. And it licked up the water that was in the trench. Hallelujah. This is the fire of God. Fire of God fell and it licked up even water. Don't miss what happens. Verse 39. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. When the fire of God hit the sacrifice, the people realized who God really was. Listen, aren't you glad you serve a God who can work? Aren't you glad you serve a God of awesome power? A lot of young people say, my God is so big. so strong and so mighty, there is nothing my God cannot do. Is that your God? So why are you walking around with your little head down? Oh, I feel poor me. Is your God really big? Is your God really mighty? Is it true that there's nothing your God cannot do? Well, lift your head up. I will lift mine eyes up to the hills. From where comes my help? My help comes from the Almighty God, from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Listen, I want you to know that this God can work on your behalf. Listen, it don't mean he's going to make you just go through life as a straight shot to heaven, just on a plain sailing. No, no, no. I told you this story before, and I'm going to tell you again. I told you when I went to the Biodome, Cheryl and I went to the Biodome in Colorado, in Arizona. This is a story I didn't intend to tell you. We went to the Biodome in Arizona. The Biodome was built, designed for a man to how to prepare for living on the moon. And so they had this environment, this glass dome, and it was totally sealed from the outside. Everybody who went in were specially prepared suits to protect the environment in there. One thing they didn't expect, and somehow ants got in. All right? Ants got in and wrecked the experiment, all right? It's amazing. So anyhow, they were now allowing us to go in. And a few of us, each day had a chance to go in. And Cheryl and I were privileged to go in. And when we went in, the thing that amazed me is that the trees, instead of going straight up, you remember the story? The trees were growing this way. Tall trees. I couldn't believe it. I asked them, why are the trees going up? They said, when we planned the experiment, we never remembered, or in fact, not to remember, they never realized how important wind is. I says, okay, you missed wind. Explain, break it down. He says, you see, when a tree is small, it needs the buffeting of the wind. And the wind causes the tree from its infancy to develop stress bark. And so as it's growing and it's being buffeted, it is developing stress bark. And that's why a tree can grow upright. If it doesn't have any wind when it is young, it will never grow straight. Do you realize why God allows trials and tribulations in your life? God is actually at work. Through these trials and through these tribulations, God is actually at work. He's actually doing something very special in your life. Sometimes we miss it. Listen, God is determined to make every one of us look like Jesus. But listen, it's going to take some trials and some struggle. My friend, when you're in the midst of that storm, just remember you can reach out and hold on to his unchanging hand. That's the beauty of being a believer in Jesus Christ. It's not that I'm not going to have trouble. A missionary came from Jamaica and he taught us this song. I don't fully agree with it, but I know what he was trying to say. The song says, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. You might go sailing, and sometimes you may have to do a little crying. It might smiling all day long, Jesus holds my hand. What a God we serve. And I'm so glad this is the God that I have come to know personally. And today he wants to come into your heart. He wants to come into your life. He wants to change you. And soon we're going to give you the opportunity. And I trust you'll receive him. And listen, if you know him already, he wants you to make a new commitment to him. Let me wrap this thing up. I'm pretty much finished. But listen to me. On Mount Carmel, the fire of the Lord fell on a bull. Stay with me now. This is very important. Today, God wants to send his fire on a different type of sacrifice. I want you to know, God is still sending his fire. Romans 12:1. Put it up. I must offer myself to God as a living sacrifice. That was a dead sacrifice. He's not looking for dead sacrifices today. He's looking for living sacrifices. And Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. As you get ready to rumble, make sure you present your body to Jesus as a living sacrifice. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the fine kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. You see, God has already told us we need a deeper level of commitment. We need a deep level of conviction, but we need a deeper level where we sacrifice ourselves. Listen, to be a living sacrifice means I let go of everything and offer my life to God to live for his pleasure. Don't leave out this last part. And on his terms. Did you get it? To be a living sacrifice, I let go of everything and offer my life to God to live for his pleasure. And on his terms. And listen, when we present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, the fire of the Holy Spirit will fill us so that our lives will make an impact for God. Oh yes, there's going to be fire. You know, in the New Testament, there are so many instances where the Spirit of God is referred to as fire. Right there on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God came. Listen, tongues of fire. My friend, when we present ourselves to God, the fire of the Holy Spirit will infuse us and set us on fire for God. A church in a little village was on fire. And someone saw the village atheist. The atheist was running to the church that was on fire. Somebody called to him and said, "What's going on? I have never seen you running to the church before." The atheist says, "That's because it's the first time I've ever seen this church on fire." I wonder what would happen if everybody here this morning said to God, "God, I am willing to present my body to you as a living sacrifice." I wonder what would happen if all of us did that and the Spirit of God made us ablaze and the whole community would say, "I have never seen this type of fire before." Oh, I pray this morning that God might work in our hearts, that we may say, "God, I am available to you."
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer. And he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. we'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.